time for Blindly Obvious.
Hello and welcome to Blindly Obvious. I'm Tyler with my co-host Jeff, and today we are on the topic of discussion of identity. What it is you identify with, or maybe who. Are you as they tell you that you are, or what you believe you are, or are you something called by God?
So you introduce yourself to somebody you don't know. How do you describe yourself? I think about all the different titles we wear. You know, you and I share some. We're both fathers. Mm-hmm. We're both sons. Hey, we're both men.
Yeah. That's true. That's a good point.
Let's see. We're both Christians. We both live in Ohio.
Yep.
You know, there's all these different things that
help define who we are.
Yeah. They have some kind of a bearing on how that's expressed. Maybe it's a good way to say it.
Sure.
That expression. But who are you, though? What defines you, as opposed to being me or being a building? Or why are we different, and who gets to decide what that difference is? Like, who's the final say? That's a lot of questions here.
That is also kind of a big structure there.
Yeah.
I kind of think just we all come from different places and different stories, different backgrounds. We all have different individual traits and talents and
beliefs
and ideals and how we think things work or don't work. And I think we all also have some core principle things in common that make us similar. But then, as I just said, I think all of those other things make us the unique individuals that we are.
You know, this sounds like a lot to wrap your mind around, but I think this kind of is an issue that under the surface, there's this current flowing that most people are oblivious to that is actually taking place in our country right now in regards to whether we're talking religion, whether we're talking about
gender identity.
Sure. When does life occur? You know, and so maybe some don't even care about that, but in regard to the whole debate over pro-life or pro-choice, but it comes back to identity and foundations, our roots, and who gets to decide and define not only societal norms, but me as an individual, who gets to say Jeff is X or Tyler is Y?
That's a great question.
I mean, is it your government?
I think they certainly do a part at attempting to put us all into different boxes, maybe based upon the things that we like or the views that we have, to where almost we're divided based upon all of our differences instead of sharing them as unique qualities.
When was the last time you filled out a form? And think about all the questions that were like a medical form or something for an application for a job. Think about all the things they ask you about. Right?
Yeah, I mean, it's almost a personal identity background check per se, to where...
But they're also teaching you how to define yourself too, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not just they're asking you these questions, but they're teaching you to say, okay, these are the markers that determine who you are. So in a way, it's also reinforcing a paradigm we've been given.
Mm-hmm. So then you kind of get to the place of, are you going to be defined by what society defines you as?
Yeah.
Or
is there something greater?
Are you going to be defined as how you view yourself? Or are you going to be defined by what you're called to be?
Yeah. It's like it's so difficult, though, I think, to describe, let alone, you know, if you do understand it, to wrap your mind fully around all that it encompasses. But I thought it'd be a neat subject to broach. And again, it's so broad and vast that I didn't know where it would take us in today's discussion. But I was thinking about, as Christians, I ran through a real fast list. I started writing down because there's no way I would remember all these that would come to mind. But as Christians, we are told what we are. We're salt, we're light, we're the children of God, we are the witnesses of God, we are God's workmanship, we are made in his image, we're redeemed, we're objects of mercy, we are found in him, we are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, we are forgiven people, we are sinful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and all that, what we find very quickly is we are valued and we are loved, we are wanted, we are his. As Christians, that's what we are. It's who we are.
And I think for myself personally, when you get into the, I've been very much a person before who defines myself of only what I believe to be. And when you get into that cycle of thinking, you lose sight of the, like what you just said, all of those wonderful things that are offered in the glory of God, but not offered in the sense of here in the world. Because when you believe only in the sense of self, that's all you believe is enough.
Well, this is kind of fun. You know, we might have trouble defining who we are, but think about this. Who are you not? I am not what I wear.
Meaning, what do you mean, not what you wear?
I'm not what the clothes I wear do not define me.
Oh, sure. Absolutely,
right?
Not.
Now, they might be an expression of my personality, but they're not what define me. They're not what give me value.
Yeah.
My jewelry or even my values or beliefs, they're not who I am. They're an expression of me. So start thinking that way. What are you not?
I would say those are good things. I'm not.
It's a different way of thinking, isn't it? It's like, hold on a second. I'm not what?
I mean, I'm not the, you know, the nice house I live in. Like, I like it. It's right. It's wonderful. I love, you know, it's, but it's not, it doesn't define me. I wouldn't give up the whole world to have.
So I'm not defined by my material or lack thereof of possessions.
Sure.
Okay.
I would say a good definer of me would be my wife and children. And I like, you know, this podcast is a good, like to talk and to share with others what I think. And I don't know. How about yourself?
I think most of what we, and this is a deep philosophical thing, you know, I'm not sure I fully have my mind wrapped around it, but I think most of what we're saying is, again, these are all that we're talking about. These are expressions because of who we are that we're talking about. These like clothing or your possessions or your personality or the people in your life. These are expressions. For example, because of who I am, my wife was attracted to me.
Yep.
And that's why she said yes when I asked her to marry me. Mm-hmm. Right. I'm a pastor, but that's not who I am. It's just an expression of who God's made me to be. And there I just gave it away. Because of my own personal bias in my 48 now? My 48 years, I've come to understand I'm not who you say I am. I'm not who the world says I am. I'm who my maker says I am. And so part of my whole life now is the discovery of what that is, so I can lean into that true meaning, because I believe he has the final say so. Not me, not you, not society, but he.
Sure.
Does that make sense?
And with, you know, our maker saying who we are, what do you think we do in regards to our imperfections that define who we are? Because we do have some, I mean,
man,
not necessarily imperfections that define who we are, but once again, those imperfections make up,
well, we're trying to
parts of who we are, just like the good qualities about ourselves.
Well, so your imperfections, I mean, there's a lot of avenues you can take on this. We've all got things we don't like about ourselves. Right?
Absolutely.
Like, I wish I was taller, or I wish I was skinnier, or whatever. And what's crazy is today, in the world of choice that we have, if you have enough money, you can pay to have surgeries to make alterations, right?
I mean, physically, sure. But how about, like, in a mental aspect? Something that maybe you can't escape necessarily.
In regard to intelligence, or in regard to gifts, in regard to ability, like maybe talent. What do you mean?
Sure. Or like maybe in regards to like things, maybe you lose your temper easily. Maybe you lack self-control. Maybe things like that.
So characteristics of your personality.
Sure.
And even there, you know, again, I think those... It's so hard. I think those are expressions of who you are.
Correct. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. How do we... Our maker, you know, made us who we are, who we're called to be. How do we deal or define those negative characteristics about ourselves? That's what I'm asking.
Okay, so you're not saying the surgery, like my nose is too big, so I'm going to get a rhinoplasty.
Correct.
You're talking about maybe I get a little irritated with people and I need to learn some patience.
Sure. Or maybe I lose my temper every time this happens. Or maybe I have 6 drinks and, you know, then I have 24 drinks. Like, I have no self-control. Just like that. Like those negative characteristics about ourselves.
This past week, there was a sermon that was given, and it was talking about a Romans passage where it says, we're not to conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And the whole thing there is what it's that very thing you're talking about. There are traits, there are personal expressions, qualities that sometimes are not very good.
Sure.
That we not only resemble, but we express. And that, you know, we are all, as Christians anyway, trying to model our life, our character, our values after the example of Christ. We're in flux, right? We're in a state of change.
And I think that state of change is constant.
Yeah.
And it's also identifying your negative characteristics.
Sure.
And it's not to be down on yourself constantly. No. It's to be aware and to know There's what can I be doing better?
Yeah, there's a standard, and you're trying to adjust to that standard, always knowing you always come up short.
Sure. But you're better than you were yesterday.
Absolutely. You know, it's hard for me to see how much better I am today than I was yesterday, but you put some decades on there. You know what I mean? 10 years? Heck yeah, I'm a lot different than I was 10 years ago.
Well, and you kind of start to look backwards, you know, in time, and you see the chain connection of all the events that took place in your past, and you kind of see how they start to all come together.
Yeah, and I can tell you this, again, going back to our roots, you know, being atheist, is that I had everything this world said I needed to be happy, and I was the most miserable person I ever was. And it's funny, those who are still on that side of the fence believe they are free. I've never been more free as a Christian, which people see that as a contradiction, because I live to a set of values and standards that they find objectionable and see as restrictive, but I see they set me free.
Sure. Well, and it's also, that's not saying you don't enjoy things of the world.
Sure.
It's saying that things
of the
world.
Or I'm drawn to them. Yeah, I'm still tempted. I'm still all those things.
It's just to say that things of the world aren't your greatest priority.
They're not my priority. They're not what define me. And they're what I'm trying to get away from so that I can, you know what, to put it this way. If your hands are full of garbage, you can't receive the gifts that somebody wants to give you. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
God is trying to give us better things, but our hands are full of the wrong stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we talk about this issue of identity, and we're now at a point where children are being taught that, you know, if they feel like the opposite sex, that's fine. It can be changed. And I think we're at a real critical point here that if the most basic concepts aren't agreed upon to be true, then what do we really believe in?
You know, it's funny, if you were to take what our kids are being taught, what we're being not, it's just not our kids, we're having a whole societal shift, foundational. And so just take this weird notions that we've done right now. So for example, a man, I wrote this down, is XY chromosome, and a woman is XX. Even if you have gender reassignment surgery and you take hormones, your chromosomes have not changed.
Correct.
Okay, you're still what God made you to be when you were born, right? You can't change that. You are what you are. But we live in a society that says, no, you can choose to identify as any gender you want. Well, apply that to some other subject. Let's have fun with this. I choose to identify as a bird. I can fly. I'm going to go jump off a building.
Or can you just identify as the president?
Sure, I'm gonna go walk in the White House. Yeah, I'm the president today.
I identify as a billionaire, so yeah. The world's at my fingertips now.
I choose to identify your car belongs to me. No, they call that theft, right?
Yeah. You try. Well, we used to.
Yeah, right. You choose to identify as a bird, jump off a building, you're gonna be introduced to the ground real quick. You know what I mean? It's like it doesn't work any other place but in this gender realm that we're being taught. Honestly, I feel like we're being taught mental illness. I really do.
I kind of think, like I said, it's the most basic point of logic can't be agreed upon, that a man is a man and a woman is a woman. If you won't believe in that, you'll believe in anything.
Anything, yeah. At that point, you are a slave to whatever they tell you you are. And that's a scary thought. And so I
think the scariest thought is that if this goes to be accepted by society, the scariest thought is that society will believe it. That's the scary thought.
I don't have the stats on this, and I wish I did. It just, when you said that, it kind of popped in my mind. But if I'm not mistaken, people who struggle with gender identity, if I'm not mistaken, are one of the highest categories of people who commit suicide.
And I think, you know, we've talked about mental illness a little bit before. Yeah. I think it's more of an issue of maybe like a gender dysphoria, possibly.
Well,
or something
it used
like
to
that.
Be that. Like, it used to be called that.
There's also, I mean, we also have in the cases of young children, there's many young, you know, young girls that have, you know, like are tomboys and they grow completely out of that. And there's young boys that play with Barbies and grow completely. Kids are kids. They just want to play with toys.
I've been confused about things before. Like, I've been lost, didn't know where north, south, east, and west was, but I got my bearings, and the same thing happens with these people. Many of those, by the way, who have these reassignment surgeries regret it later. And so my whole point is, if people who today are being taught to identify for the sake of their own happiness to be whatever they want to be, why are they so unhappy? Why is suicide so high in this category of people if it truly is about their betterment and for their mental health and for their quality of life. I don't think it is. I don't think that, what they're selling is what they're getting.
And, you know, oftentimes you look across the board of society, that happens more times than not, that the alleged bill of goods isn't exactly what comes home with you after the sale.
Buyer's remorse. And unfortunately, with some of this stuff that we're allowing to be done to ourselves, and here's the scary one, to our children.
You can't take it back.
You can't take it back. You can't take it back. And so, you know, I know there's a lot of things going on right now as a country that are causing us to reevaluate and re-examine some of the values that are governing us. And I think this is key about our identity. Who are we? Are we who the government says we are? Are we who we believe we are? Or are we who our maker says we are?
And you take, you know, what you just said there in the sense of, if we aren't going to say no here to this, and people start, you know, making these decisions for their children, no one's obviously making a decision like this for their own child in a anything other than, but they want what's best for their child. I think they really believe this is what is going to help them out. And I think, like you said, we're at a real time of reflection to think about, if we start making decisions we can't take back, what's the future going to look like?
I think we are, I know we are seeing the unintended consequences in so many different facets of life, whether we're talking food, we're talking fuel, we're talking values, we're talking freedoms. There have been unintended consequences because somebody promised better things if we would just allow them to change or tweak this one thing. And it's been to our destruction.
Every time.
Every time.
As always, this has been Blindly Obvious. If we can see it, you can see it too. Visit our website at www.blindlyobvious.com, where you can catch up on past episodes as well as learn a little bit about us. We are so happy that you're here, and we hope these are just the conversations you've been looking for. Peace, love, and God bless. I totally agree. This has been Blindly Obvious. As always, if we can see it, you can see it too. Visit our website at www.blindlyobvious.com, where you can find your favorite podcast listening location, as well as a little bit about us. We're so happy that you're here, and we hope these are just the conversations you've been looking for. Peace, love, and God bless.